Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We have a suit exclusive, by the way. Just so you know. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Okay? Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. And they're looking for more technicians, by the way. More technicians. You want to work with a great group of pros, pros? Yeah. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotors.com. Okay. Doug Birdsong weighed in. You like that, Todd?
I groaned.
I bet that chair at Cornell is a pretty good idea of what the suit's weight is.
You're not wrong.
Okay. But the suit texted me, down four, let's leave it at that. You know what I say? You know what I say to him on that? Good. Good for him. No, really. I mean, really, good for him, and I'm serious about that. We want to keep him healthy, all right? Want to keep him healthy. And that's, you know, that is very, very important. So. All right. So. The Caitlin Clark story will take center stage tonight. But I want to get into something about that story that Mike DeCourcy of Sporting News, my old friend Mike. Mike and I go back, I think we go back almost 40 years. I mean, everybody knows how much I personally like and respect Mike. He is as smart. Mike's just smart. He's just really smart. And he writes smart. And he wrote a story about how not everyone in the sport is embracing her. In her own sport, is not embracing her. And this has been one, in my opinion, this has always been a problem in this sport. Going back, I'm talking back to the 80s, even. I'd never understood it. In a sport that has been fighting for inches over the decades to get a toehold in the American sports scene and consciousness, they now have somebody that is allowing them to not only gain inches, but they're gaining feet and in some areas yards. How about that? And yet, there are people within her own sport that take subtle shots at her. They should be embracing this person because they need this person to get people to watch, okay? To get them then interested in, like, there's more than just her. Look at South Carolina. Hey, great. Look, you know, everybody knows about UConn, you know, but look at others. So Mike wrote this article about about her. And look, Penn State's about to fly to Nebraska. At Nebraska, they needed as police escort to get from the airport to the hotel. People were lining the streets in Lincoln as they made their way from the hotel to the arena. And that's the kind of phenomenon she has created. But then there's this stuff, the petty stuff. And they're going to play Michigan tonight. I think it's on Peacock, right? Which means America won't really see it. It's a kind of deal with the Big Ten. I don't get the Peacock part. I don't get, but that's fine. Okay. But this is what others have said during this season. She made that great shot to win a game against Michigan State. One of those, like, almost from the logo three-point shots to win. But the reason she got there, let's be honest, is that her teammate Molly Davis was fouled on a very controversial call, sank the two free throws to tie the game at 73. So Dawn Staley puts on Twitter, heck of a shot, but give the game ball to the ref for the shooting foul call. Like, what are we doing here? Like, celebrate the person. I mean, don't just do a backhanded thing. I don't get it. All right? I mean, remember last year when Iowa won over South Carolina in the Final Four? And I think they had a guard named Johnson for South Carolina. And what Lisa Bluter and her staff did was they took, I mean, Caitlin Clark usually defends the weakest offensive player. I mean, again, please, I'm not, okay, all right, I'm analyzing basketball here. I'm not playing the, like, let's embrace, the, like, everything, you know, the person can do no wrong. She's not a great defender. Sorry, right? But what do you do when you don't have a great defender? You hide them, and you put them on the weakest opponent. Okay, Johnson was hitting like 19% of her threes. So they did a good job of taking Clark off of Johnson and doubling the post because that's where the strength was for South Carolina. And Clark did a good job. And, you know, and Clark was, hit, I think, a couple of threes in the game. But after the game, they're talking about how they disrespected her. They didn't disrespect her. Give her credit. We all have scouting tapes. She's not a good shooter. It's like, sorry. That's how petty this sport gets sometimes. Kim Mulkey. Okay? Now let's get to her. She played point guard as well. We don't have any players shooting 40 times a game like you see around the country. That's not us. You want to, how many shots a game do you think Clark averages?
I would probably guess 25.
23. Eh. Which, by the way, is number one in the nation. I mean, that is number one. Okay? But she's hitting 47% of them. Like, come on. Stop taking shots. And then there's Cheryl Swoops. Gold medal winner. I mean, three times she won the gold medal. NCAA champ with Texas Tech. Good career in the WNBA. The whole deal. If Kelsey Plum set that record in 4 years, well, Caitlin should have broke it that record in 4 years. But because there's a COVID year and there's another year, you know what I mean? She's had the extra year to break the record. So is it truly a broken record? Except the problem is, this is actually Caitlin Clark's fourth year. What are we doing here? These are not criticisms coming from guys. It's not criticism coming from other sports. This is within her own sport, her own fraternity. I don't get it. I don't get it. You see where I'm going with this, Todd? I don't understand what in the heck are we doing here.
I think it's a little bit of jealousy, just from the point that these women, when they played, kind of didn't get this attention, and I think they probably feel like they deserve it. But you know, I think Cheryl Swoops was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. It's not like Cheryl Swoops did not earn coverage, but I you know, I don't get it, but I kind of get it in the looking at it from the jealousy standpoint, just that, you know, they probably feel that in their day they were just as good as she was and kind of wonder why they didn't get that kind of coverage. And, you know, it's it just happens, I think. Just, I mean, jealousy is an awful thing.
But why? I don't, the part I don't understand as to why is simple. It is a sport that has been begging to gain inches forever. And they finally have somebody that's maybe gaining them feet. All right. And that's the part I don't get, Todd. Right? It should be celebrated. Hey, it's about time we finally got somebody out there that everybody's paying attention to. Like, okay, that's great. And for some reason, like, I don't understand. And I agree with what you're saying. You are not saying something that, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I think you're spot on with what you're saying. And I don't understand it. I'm completely baffled by it. And I don't know. I see stuff like that, and I'm like, I don't get it.
You know, it's kind of like the Chiefs thing too. And the Patriots from a couple years ago. I wonder if it's just a fatigue factor for some people too. I mean, people, you know, she's in deservedly so, but she's in the coverage a lot. She's kind of the focus of coverage, and you know that causes jealousy too.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'm baffled by it. So many people are celebrating her, and I think what she's done is worth the attention, the celebration of it, because it's bringing attention to something that they have been begging for attention forever with the sport, forever. And they're finally getting some, and this is what you're doing with it? Like, why? I don't understand why you've decided to go out there and just...
Well, we can't be happy for people anymore. I mean, I think a lot of this world ends up, you know, we're not happy with other people's accomplishments. We end up being jealous that we didn't accomplish that, and we end up being haters more than celebrating other people's accomplishments.
All right, but enough of the suit. Let's no?
Eh, poor Kevin. I did it again.
Poor Kevin! Oh, God. This is the whole thing. No. You can't. No, don't do that. You're killing us.
I killed the vibe again.
Oh, my goodness. trying to make the show really good. No, but I mean, but I think you're right. But, like, look, Don Staley and Kim Mulkey. Staley played in the in the 90s, right?
Yeah, early
90s. And Mulkey played in the 80s at Louisiana Tech. Swoops played in the 90s, obviously. She won the 90. They were part of the 93 national championship team at Texas Tech. I don't get it, though. I mean, they know how hard it was to get publicity right.
I mean, was going to say, was Kim Mulkey's national championship game even on TV? Probably not.
No, they were. No, they were. Well, you know what? I mean, I'm trying to think. Probably was on ESPN, but remember, CBS finally carried when UConn won.
I think Kim Mulkey's early 80s, though.
Yeah, she was early 80s. And, yeah, it may have been on NCAA Productions back in that day. I don't know. I'm baffled by this whole thing, and you can tell why I'm baffled. I'm baffled just because you finally at least have somebody noticing your sport. And she's doing TV commercials and things like that. It's not like, I mean, let's face it, it's not like Dawn Staley didn't do TV commercials. She was on one last year with Mike Krzyzewski. Remember that?
Yeah, they were the Affleck people, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what the heck goes wrong with that? That's great. That's great publicity. What? Because the kid's getting publicity by doing State Farm commercials? I mean, I don't get it. I don't know. That's on me, I guess, for not really knowing why. I mean, seriously, I don't get it. And it's not. That ain't gonna work.
I was gonna say my brain doesn't work that way. I don't.
Neither does mine. I mean, I could care less about. I could care less about that stuff.
I was going to say, take care of your own stuff. Everything else usually takes care of itself.
All right, that's how I look at it. I mean, I don't understand why there are people out there that think that they have to I don't know. I'm just completely baffled by the whole thing. I really am. And that's like I said, I don't get it at all. I don't understand why they're picking on her, why they're taking these little subtle shots. I know you're right. I mean, what you're saying, Todd, is correct. I know you're right that there's some petty jealousy there. But why? I mean, they finally got somebody that people are rooting for. I mean, at least that's how I look at it.
I think it's some of it's just as simple as part of being the human condition at this point. Like I said,
I agree. No, I agree with you. Believe me, I do. I agree with what you're saying. It's just, I don't know. You think they're, I'll give you one. How many times have you heard Gina Auriemma critical of her?
I don't think you have you?
How about never? Like, Gino gets it. Because he knows, he knows how hard it's been to get to, you know, this point in life. I mean, it takes a lot. It's a sport that has been battling its guts out to get inches of publicity, and Caitlin Clark, to her credit, has advanced it beyond words. I mean, that's why I'm confused by the whole thing. That's just them, but that's me. It's just I'm confused by it, and I'm like you. I'd rather praise something than go out and rip it apart. I know. I realize that on shows such as these, that's the easy thing to do. Hey, what can we rip today? And after we're done talking about the suit, we then go on to the praiseworthy. I'm just kidding. What?
I was going to say, it's usually our default's usually to criticize the suit and then go on, but you beat me to it, so.
Just kidding. All right. Take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Yeah, I remember back in the day when Kelly Mazzani was playing at Penn State. And Kelly was just a great player, great shooter. You know, and Minnesota had Lindsey Whalen. Okay. And Lindsey Whalen was a great player. Now, Now, who would I have picked to be the Big Ten Player of the Year? I would have picked, well, maybe provincially, but I would have picked Kelly Mazzani. Okay. Well, Lindsey Whalen was Player of the Year, right? And Rainey Portland wasn't happy with it. And I always felt like, I mean, you've got to, and she expressed her displeasure with it. And I remember thinking, like, Rainey, don't do that. Right? I understand you're defending your player. I got that. But don't just, you know what? I understand how you feel.
I think I might have covered Kelly Mazzanti more than anybody else.
First class, huh?
She's great. I mean, from her freshman year in Montoursville, we used to go up to almost. I used to go up to almost every home game for the paper to cover her because. Speaking of people that attracted a crowd, on a smaller level, but...
No, but she did, though. She did. First-class player, fun to watch, and you can't say enough good things about her.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. With great warranties. Pre-owned inventory, they go over every vehicle. Fine-tooth comb, that's how they earn the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department, looking for more technicians, always. You can join a great group there. Routine, difficult, they handle it all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right, so now, we gave you weights on the offensive side. And again, this is courtesy of our good friends at On3.com Blue White Illustrated. Now, Abdul Carter is, you know, look for him at the end spot. He's up 1 pound from 249 to 250. Amin Vanover down 6, 268, 262. Jamel Lyons, and that is how you pronounce his name. It's Jamel. Why do I know? I walked up to him and I said, is it Jamel or Jamel? I've heard both. He says, no, Ms. Jones, it's Jamel. So it's Jamel Lyons, up 6 pounds, 246, 252. He's going to be a good player here, I think. Danai Dennis Sutton, up 9, 261 to 270. Zariah Fisher, up 8, 254, 262. Mason Robinson, down 5, 248 to 243. Jalen Harvey, up 16 already from 250 to 266. Joey Palco, up 7, 238, 231, 238. Joseph Mpoy, up 12, 248, 258. Smith Vilbert, down 6. Excuse me, up 6. Up 6 for Smith, 278, 284. He was running pretty well in December, I thought. And Jordan Mayer, down 2 from 230 to 228. Of course, he transferred in from Wisconsin. The defensive tackles, Devon Townley, up 4, 277, 281. Zane Durant. Zane's always had trouble keeping weight on. Not now. He's gone from 285 to 288, so he's up 3. So my key with him is that he kept the weight and then tacked on 3. Ty Blanding up 8, 274, 282. Alonzo Ford, you didn't see him last year because he got hurt on the first day of practice, up 10, 298 to 308. Now, Akeem Beeman, keeping weight on has always been an issue for him, and right now he's down 10 from 290 to 280. Jordan Vandenberg down 3, 310 to 307. Xavier Gilliam up 14 from 280 to 294. Caleb Artis, 319 down to 317. Sam Siafa up 7 from 277 to 284. Liam Andrews up 6, 260, 266. Devon Ellis has gone up 4 from 298 to 302. DeAndre Cook down 1, 270, 269. T.A. Cunningham, the freshman, has gone from 285 to 252. He's down 33. Kazai Izzard up 7, 295 to 302. Linebackers. Dominic DeLuca up 2, 218, 220. Tony Rojas is the same. He's still at 225. Tyrese Mills up 6, 198 to 204. Tamir Robinson up 4, 222, 226. Kerry Jackson up 6, 222, 226. Keon Wiley, who, by the way, as the season went last year, got better and better and better, up 2 to 218 to 220. Winston Yates up 18, 205, 223. Kobe King is up 8 from 242 to 250. Tyler Elston's down 2, 229, 227. Jackson Pritt's up 2, 204 to 206. This guy I think is going to be a good player. Kavion Keys up 1, 225, 226. Ben Chismar down 9, 233 to 224. The corners. Jalen Kimber, the transfer from Florida, no change. He's at 185. A.J. Harris, the transfer from Georgia, up a couple from 188 to 190. Kim Miller is the same, still 183. John Mitchell up 2, 180 to 182. Zion Tracy up 3 from 183 to 186. Elliot Washington up 1, 192 to 193. Antoine Belgrave shorter up 9, 185, 194. Lamont Payne, who's now, he's gone from corner to safety. No change, 185. Adavian Collins up 7, 172 to 179. And Colin Dinkins up 3, 184 to 187. Safeties. Jalen Reed up 5, 205, 210. Zaki Wheatley down 2, 198 down to 196. Dakari Nelson up 3, 220 to 223. King Mack is down 1 from 188 to 187. Bebou Touré up 9 from 200 to 209 for the freshman. K.J. Winston up 3, 203 to 206. I mentioned Lamont Payne already, possibly playing at safety. Now, you notice one name that's not at safety is Mekhi Flowers. It's my understanding Mekhi Flowers is on offense. Okay? So, and that's where they are at this particular time. Their next workout's going to be Tuesday. Their next winter workout. So.
Do they go twice a week for that?
Yes. Yep, twice a week. And then you get a break for spring break, and then they get going with spring practice after that. I think spring practice may start the 12th of March. I believe. And then from there, they will go with all the way to the blue-white game on the 13th. But I think it starts on March the 12th. And, you know, you have to do installs and things like that. But Mekhi Flowers, for example, is now listed as a wide receiver. And Abdul Carter is listed officially on the roster as a defensive end. So those would be the prominent ones. Now,
You got to. I mean, they might not have announced it, but you kind of got to think that the guy in the defensive tackle that lost 30 pounds might be switching positions too, I would assume.
Well, no, you know what? It depends on what kind of weight you come in with. Yeah. Sometimes what they will do, and again, I don't know this for a fact because I don't know Cunningham at all. Never seen him. All right, and this will be something I'll have to talk to Chuck and to Alvin about. Right. And I'll give you a great example, Paris Palmer. Paris Palmer came in at 300, okay? And then we played the blue-white game at 279. And people are like, what's going on? What happened with him? Right? Well, I talked to the strength and conditioning staff about that, and they said, look, we had to strip off the bad weight, start over, and then started to put the good weight on him. And in the end, that's what they did with him. And Homer got back up to like 302, 303, something like that. But it was good weight. It was muscle. It was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I have no idea with Cunningham. I don't know. Zero. So I'm not saying anything about TA. Nothing. I'm only saying that if you see a dramatic weight drop like that, sometimes that's the reason. I'm just saying that's something to consider. And the other, and I mentioned position change. The other one is, I mentioned Mekhi Flowers to wide receiver. Abdul Carter listed now as a defensive end, and Lamont Payne is listed as a safety. So there you go. It's just a couple of interesting notes in February about football.
It's kind of interesting that they move Flowers over to wide receiver. I mean, only going off seeing him in high school, I mean, I always thought that he was kind of a better receiver than a safety. So it's going to be interesting if that gets him on the field a little quicker.
Let's see if it does, because the safety spot right now, you've got Winston, you have Reed, okay? So you've got those guys. You've got Zaki Wheatley, okay? Dakari Nelson, King Mack. I mean, in other words, you have a rather crowded room there at safety. And that's one of the reasons why I think you look at a Mekhi Flowers, what can get him on the field, especially considering Driver transferred. So maybe that opens the door.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked enough, and you guys have, I'm sure, have talked enough about the receiving core problems last year at Penn State. So you would think between Julian and some of the guys they have back and maybe moving over, that'll certainly be much, much improved this year, hopefully.
Look, I think let's start with this. You make a great point. So let's continue with that point. I think Julian Fleming's a big plus in many areas, whether as a receiver, a route runner, a blocker, an older player. I think he brings so many pluses to the table. I'm so anxious to watch him get out there and start playing. But I also think it was a big plus, a very big plus, that Keandre Lambert-Smith came back. And because I just felt that, like, losing him, there would be a drop-off there. I think he can be just as good, if not a little bit better, coming up this upcoming season, which makes a big difference. Harrison Wallace being healthy makes a big difference. Now what happens with the other guys? What happens with a Caden Saunders? What happens with a Liam Clifford? What happens with these guys? A Malik Mega. Right? I mean, let's see how it plays out. Or can an Ivy or a Johnson step up and do something? I just want to see how it plays out with some of these guys. But keeping Wallace, Lambert Smith staying, to go in addition to Fleming, I think that's a foundation right there. Right? We'll find out if I'm right about it. But to me, that's a and Malik McClain, I got to make sure I mention him too.
And I think the other part of it is Julian's been around NFL receivers in that Ohio State, Ohio State room, and he kind of knows what goes into it, just as kind of example for those some of those younger guys and some of the work that the older guys need to put in to get to the level that I think a lot of people think they can reach.
Right, and I think that makes a big difference. He brings a lot of pluses to the table. And the way James described him was that he has impressed everybody with his demeanor, how he's gone about it. In other words, he hasn't gone in there like, hey, I play. He's just been like one of the guys. But, boy, if you need to lean on me, talk to me. He's been like one of those guys. And, by the way, in the workout this morning, He was named the wide receiver workout winner by Marcus Higgins.
You know, something I've always noticed about him is, you know, he's been a superstar since his freshman year of high school. And, you know, he had his moments. I mean, you're that good, you're allowed to have a little bit, you know, be a little bit full of yourself. But he was always one of the, he was never on a pedestal at Southern Columbia. He was always one of the guys. And that was one of the most amazing things to me is, you know, somebody that was, you know, that caught a lot of the stuff from the crowd around here, that had to listen to it. It never really got to him, and he was able to kind of shut that noise out and be one of the guys. And I think that's huge for him as well.
He's just a worker. You know what? He works. He understands. Yeah, it doesn't mean he doesn't have fun with people, because he does. But when it comes time to work, Julian Fleming works.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes time to, like, punch the time card in, boom, he is out there. Okay, let's punch the time card. We'll have a good time doing this, but let's all get to work. And you can't put a price on that kind of attitude being in the room to go with the physical gifts he already has. Again, this is why it is important why the professionals understand how to handle the disappointment of recruiting. Okay? You're darn right James Franklin was disappointed that in the end they could not land Julian Fleming. But they kept a good relationship with him along the way and with his family. And then when it came time where he put his name in the portal, everybody remembered it. The professionals understand that doors are not closed these days, right? And, you know, and there'll be, you know, some members, a minority. I mean, the fan base gets disappointed. Of course they do, right? Some take it a little too far in terms of what their disappointment is. But that's why you don't close doors. You don't. Although every time I've been in the building, the suit store is shut. I don't understand what that means.
Less people talk to you that way.
Ooh. What was it? Is it the Costanza thing?
Probably. Like you might be napping under his desk.
No, you keep the door shut. They all think, you can't bother him. He's in there. He's really busy. George Costanza. All right. We'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. And by the way, I don't think I mentioned Andrew Rapoport. He's at 249, by the way. And I think it's the one I didn't mention in the tight end grouping. All right. I know we have not talked about this, but I will at least update what happened in Kansas City yesterday. One dead, 22 injured. It happened right at the end of everything. They say now that they believe it stemmed from a dispute among several people. Three people have been detained, two of whom are juveniles, and firearms recovered during the mayhem. They are now calling for witnesses and people with cell phone footage and victims of the violence to call a dedicated hotline. Now, the three that they have detained can be held for 24 hours before charges have to be filed, or they'll have to be released. So that's the situation that happened yesterday in Kansas City. I guess right after the last speech is done. Okay? Now, they're still up on the stage and everything, but last speech is done. Over at Union Station, this broke out. And they're now saying it's a dispute between individuals. From that, we will turn to something that is positive. All right? And here's the positive. Thon starts tomorrow. Six student-athletes, in fact, are going to dance for 46 consecutive hours. It starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow. It ends at Sunday at 4. Let's see if they can raise eight figures again. It's been remarkable what they've done. To date, $194 million has been raised by Thon, including $15 million last year. And at least 95% of the funds raised at Thon are donated directly to Four Diamonds. This year's Thon marks the 16th year of the event at the Jordan Center. Previously, it went from the Hub to White Building to Rec Hall. I don't go back to when the Hub happened, but I remember when it was at White Building. And there's actually going to be a live stream of this, and students from the College of Communications from the Belisario School will again be producing a webcast of Thon. So it starts tomorrow at 6 and ends Sunday at 4. It is the 51st dance marathon. They will go over the total of $200 million in fundraising with this one. And Van Danielson from men's soccer, Caroline Myers from field hockey, Molly Martin from women's soccer, Lauren Delgado from field hockey, Bree Baracco from field hockey, and Quinn Menger from women's volleyball will be a part of those dancing on the floor for 46 hours. Six student athletes representing the Student Athletic Advisory Board, SAB. And Miranda Helfinger from women's rugby, Nick Masterson from men's rugby. And, of course, there'll be the team hours and everything like that going on. And the football program will be hosting Thon families at Lash Building Saturday.